receive your word. I pray, Father, that each of them would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, sensitive to his nudging, his prompting, his directing, and even his convicting, Father God. So I just pray that each and every one will have ears to hear and a heart to receive your word. And Father, we will be the better for it. We will be the better for it. And so we thank you for that. Thank you, Father God, for your call and anointing upon me to minister your word. And I'm resting in that call and anointing right now. And dear Lord, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, shout amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. Go ahead now and turn in your Bibles to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. Hallelujah. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, I'll begin reading at verse 15. And once again, I'm reading from my New King James Bible. It ain't so new anymore. It's about to fall apart. But I am reading from the New King James, not just a new Bible, but from the New King James Version. Of the Bible, chapter 14. Let's begin reading at verse 15. Jesus is teaching here, and in verse 15, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, let me tell you something before I go any further, and we'll talk some more about this. We certainly will. But Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." You know, we don't question, or we shouldn't anyway, question the fact that he loves us, right? Amen. Yeah, he loves us. Matter of fact, I remember being in the first grade back when you could talk about Jesus in schools, in the public schools. I remember in the first grade, one of the songs that my teacher taught us, and you have to understand, this was a long time ago, it was. In the very first grade, we used to sing in class, "Jesus loves me, this I know." Yeah, I learned that song in the first grade. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Amen. "Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong." Then, yes, Jesus loves me. And that had, by the way, that had an impact on my young life. You hear me? It did. It had an impact on my young life because it planted something on the inside of me that Jesus loved that little boy. You know, little 6-year-old boy. Jesus loved him. Now, you know, I got a classmate here, Pat, and I think you're the only one here today that's my classmate, right, Pat? For right now, you are. But I'm older than Pat, and she probably liked hearing that. But I am older than Pat. I said I'm older than you. So, but here's my point. I think we started in the same class when I was in the second grade, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and then we went on from there until I went to one high school, you went to another in the 60s. The reason I'm saying this is because I started school at 6 years of age, so I was 6 years old and you hadn't started school yet when I learned that song. And of course, the reason Pat and I and some of the other ones wound up in the same grade is because after first grade, I quit school for 2 years. Not at my own volition, okay? I was a child. But due to some circumstances, which I won't go into, I wound up back in school, thank God.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. And things were a little tough during that time in our lives, but I wound up back in school. But I learned this in the first grade at the age of 6, that Jesus loved me. Okay, so now let me read it again. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, this is what I said earlier, and we're going to move on, but this is what I said earlier. We know that Jesus loves us, don't we? He loves us. But Jesus says, now, if you love me, if you love, ain't that what that says? If you love me, then do what? Keep my commandments. If you love me, do what I tell you. Because I'm not going to tell you anything wrong. Jesus is not going to tell you anything wrong. He's not going to lead you wrong in any way. Always understand this. Whatever Jesus tells you to do, whatever the Bible tells us to do, it is always for our good. It doesn't always feel good, but it is always for our good. Think about that for a moment. It's always for your good. Amen. It may not feel good to your flesh, but it's always what's best for us. All right, now let's move on. I wanted to point that out to you. So if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. King James Version, I believe, says comforter. Am I right? Okay, but comforter, helper, same thing. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Hallelujah. Praise God for the forever. Look at verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells what? With you, and what? Will be in you. Amen. So now, when Jesus said, will be in you, you have to understand what time it was that he was talking to them. He had not gone to the cross yet. He had not died. He had not rose from the dead. He had not ascended to his Father yet. But he said, he's with you now, but one day he will be on the inside of you. Praise God. And I'm so glad to say today he's on the inside of me. Amen. Because I'm serving the risen Savior. So now the Holy Spirit is on the inside of me. And I'm so glad he put verse 18 in there. I will not leave you orphans or comfortless. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So listen, you have to understand then that the Holy Spirit has been given to us, and I'm talking about the new birth. Amen. There's also the baptism with the Holy Spirit, but right now I'm talking about the new birth. Has been given to us. Because first of all, before you can ever be baptized with the Holy Spirit, you must first be born again. Amen? praise God. The Spirit of the living God must be on the inside of you. You must have been made a new creature or new creation in Christ Jesus. So Jesus is saying, you know, I'm going away, but the Holy Spirit will come and he will dwell on the inside of you. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you helpless. I'm not going to leave you without a helper. Glory to God. We have a helper, and this helper is with us all the time. Hear me real, real good. This helper, the Holy Spirit, is available to us all the time, anytime, every time. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. You're still here. Now, just flip over a couple of chapters to the 16th chapter of John. And I'll just begin reading at verse 12. It's, and Jesus again is teaching. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, glory to God, he is the Spirit of truth. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Somebody shout hallelujah. I say somebody shout hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So we listen, and I've been speaking about this and putting emphasis on this, that we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. Now, remember what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. Say that again. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, I find this mighty interesting. Turn to the book of Ephesians, please. The 4th chapter of Ephesians. And I'm, for now anyway, I'm just going to read one verse. But I would recommend that you read this 4th chapter of Ephesians. And everything that's said leading up to the 30th verse is what I'm going to read. But listen at this, or read this along with me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Spirit of God, by whom ye were sealed for the day of redemption. You see that? I say, you see that? Amen. Now, not all of you may have the New King James Version of the Bible, and that's quite all right. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to look up at the screen, because they have it on the screen. And I want you to read, let's read this together out loud. And I'm going to count to three, and I want you to read it like you mean it. Amen. Read it like you mean it. This verse 30, Ephesians chapter 4. 1, 2, 3. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. One more time, read it.
And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption.
That is important, folks. Are you listening to me?
Now, don't get me wrong. All of God's word is important. But we need to grab a hold of this because the Holy Spirit is our connection to God. He's living on the inside of us. And so we are instructed, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you, and that includes me, were sealed. Let me tell you something. Can I tell you something? I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to heaven without having the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. In other words, let's say it this way. We're not going to heaven without being born again. And you can't be born again without the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of you. He is our ticket to glory. He is our ticket. You know, that we read things and hear people talk about, you know, St. Peter at meeting us at the gate. Now, I don't know if Peter going to be there or not. We may meet him later. Okay. But I tell you what, whoever is at the gate, if they ask us, what gives you the right to be here? Why are you here? Why should I let you in? You can say, I deserve the right to be in because I am a child of God, because I've been born again. I am not that old person that I used to be. And get this, I'm here because of the blood of Jesus. And listen to me. And because of the blood of Jesus, I have God's very own Spirit dwelling on the inside of me. I deserve to be on the other side. Yes, sir. Come on in. Praise God, hallelujah. So we're told, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He's our ticket, if I can use that term. In other words, he's our connection with God while we're here in the earth and after we leave. He is our God connection. Him living on the inside of us is our God connection. Amen. So we need to take Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 very, very serious. Now, I have read some references to you. I read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 last Sunday and maybe the Sunday before last. So you should have that already in your notes. But I want to read a couple other references. Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. And again, I'm just going to jump right into the 16th verse. You can read above and below later on. But 16th verse says, do you not know that you are the temple of God? See that? And that the Spirit of God dwells where? Huh? And the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, verse 17 is tough. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is what? For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. I think I'll read that again. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Believers, Christians, we need to take it serious. God is dwelling on the inside of us. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you just don't take the temple and do any and everything with it. You don't abuse the temple. And believe me, don't think, well, maybe I shouldn't have got saved, or maybe, man, I don't think I want to get saved because, hold on. You don't like the alternative. See, you have to understand, living for Christ requires sacrifice. I think I'll say that again. Living for Christ requires sacrifice. In other words, we just don't get to do any and everything that we want to do. We don't get to use this body just any old way, okay? Because we already know, I think you know, that sin has consequences anyway. I've heard it said, and I've repeated this myself. Sin will take you further than you want to go, make you stay longer than you want to stay, and cost you so much more than you want to pay. See, we got to understand something, brothers and sisters. You know, I just can't stand up in front of you with my little nice suit on, you know, and you know, I with my wife's help, you know, I try to look nice and presentable to you folks. But let me tell you something. It don't matter how nice you look or how sloppy you look or what you wear. And of course, a minister should dress decent. Amen. Can I get amen on that? But here's my point. Here's the point that I'm making. We must preach the truth to the people of God. Hallelujah. Now I want to say this. I am honored that you're here today. Thank God for you. Those that are watching, I thank God for you as well. But first of all, I know you may be members of this church, and I may be your pastor, but I didn't die for you. I wasn't qualified to die for you. I had to have someone to die for me. His name is Jesus. Jesus died for all of us. So I wasn't qualified to die for you. Therefore, you are not my sheep. You understand what I'm saying? I'm your pastor, and I'm honored by that. And of course, I deserve your respect. Any pastor does. And the Bible says that. You know, there's much too much pastor abuse going on. But my point is this. I didn't die for you. You don't belong to me. My job is to preach to you the uncompromised word of God. Because on that day, yes, I'll be there too. But on that day, you are going to stand in the presence of your maker. You are going to stand in the presence of the one that died for you. You're going to stand in the presence of the one that shed his blood for you. And you're going to have to give an account to him. Do you hear me? You're going to have to. We all. I'm going to have to give an account to him. So I've got to preach you the truth. I've got to tell you the truth. Even if you get mad and walk out, that's between you and the Lord. That's between you and the Lord. You're not my sheep. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're members of this church, especially if you're members of this church, you need to be faithful and you need to be committed. But when it's all over, we're going to stand before him. Can I get another amen on that? So I got to tell you the truth. I got to preach the word of God. All righty. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Just flip over if you need to the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I don't know how far I'm going to get into this. My goodness, the time is moving right along. But if I don't get here today, the Lord willing, we'll continue next week unless God directs me in somewhere else. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 15. Says essentially the same thing, but I want to read it to you. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them and make them members of an harlot? Everybody say, certainly not. I think I'll read that again. Verse 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? Harlot? Certainly not. 16, y'all know what a harlot is, right? Amen. All right. Verse 16, or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot, and this is talking about sexually, okay? It's in the Bible, folks. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? Mm-hmm. Thank you for that one word of encouragement. But I know I got your attention. Do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. Now, I'm about to make a statement that is not very popular, not popular at all in the world, and is becoming less popular in the church. Preacher. you should not be having sex with anyone other than your spouse, your husband, or your wife. Now, let me repeat that. You should not be having sex with anyone other than your spouse, your husband, or your wife. Bible says if you do, you become one with them. And you're only supposed to become one with your husband or your wife. Amen. Now see, some folk don't want to preach stuff like that because they're afraid they'll lose members. We have to understand, I told you earlier, y'all don't belong to me anyway. And if I lose you because I told you the truth, then praise God, I must be doing pretty good. There's absolutely too much looseness in the church of God. Oh, by the way, the Bible tells us that judgment must first begin at the house of God. God is jerking the slack out of us. Darkness cannot win darkness. In John, it says, in him was light, and darkness did not comprehend it. In other words, light is more powerful than darkness. It can be black, 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 dark in this place. And someone just flip on a little small, tiny flashlight. And get this, the more powerful the light, the more the darkness escapes. The light is dim, some darkness gonna hang around. Praise God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, God is telling us to straighten up. He's talking to his church. Because if we don't, it's going to cost us. Do you know, I told you earlier that sin has consequences. It doesn't matter whether you're saved or unsaved. If you're doing the same sin, you're going to reap the same consequences. Amen. Amen. If two men have sex with a loose woman, harlot, whatever, and she has a disease, guess what? The sinner lay with her, guess what? He'll get the disease. Fella that says he's a Christian, if he lay with her, guess what? He's going to get the same disease. But why, Lord? I'm saved. Same disease, same consequences. Y'all didn't expect this today, did you? Probably wondering, what did my wife feed me for breakfast? Verse 17, we got to move right along. But he who is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit with him. Why? Because he's living on the inside of us. Woo, glory. Look at verse 18. I know some folk wish that wasn't in the Bible, this verse 18, but it's there and it's there to stay. Flee sexual immorality. Oh, by the way, this is not talking to the world. This is talking to the church. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immoral sins against his own body. Well, let me reread that again. Verse 18. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Y'all grab that. I kind of muffled it up there. But you grab, in other words, what the Word of God is saying, when we commit sexual sins, not we, you know, but if a person commit a sexual sin, they are sinning against their own body. Y'all coming back next Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking. Or who do you not know? My reading is terrible today. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? That's what we've been talking about, isn't it? Who is in you, whom you have from God. And you, just my glasses, make sure I read this right. And you are not your own. You born again, raise your hand. I have y'all do that a lot. Okay, now, here's what I want you to do. That very same hand that you have raised, now take a look at it. Just take a look at it. And I want you to say, this hand does not belong to me.
This hand does not belong to me.
It belongs to Christ.
It belongs to Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
We've been bought with a price by the blood of Jesus. And we have a deposit of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. We don't belong to us. Hallelujah. Verse 20, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Remember, my subject is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We're going to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We got to be clean. And if we mess up, we better deal with it immediately. I know sometimes somebody can say something to you, and you wind up saying things that you later regret. Let me tell you something. You need to deal with that quickly. You need to implement 1 John 1:9, which says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And by the way, if someone else is involved, you need to go get it right with them. Get it right with them. Apologize. I was wrong. That's the hardest thing for some folks to say, I was wrong. For some people, pride will not allow them to say, I was wrong. Well, if I tell them I was wrong, I missed it, I messed up, they're going to disrespect me. Why are you concerned about what they think about you? You need to be more concerned about what God says about you. If you're wrong, you're wrong. Admit you were wrong. Thank you, Lord.
Wow. We'll go. I'm definitely not going to finish. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 6, sixth chapter of Romans. And I want to encourage you, really, to read the entire chapter of the book of Romans at your, during your study time, whatever. Read Romans. But in the book of Romans, chapter 6, I'll just read verse 19 for the sake of time. The Apostle Paul here says, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. How many of you know your flesh is weak? And that's the reason we are not to live by our flesh. The book of Galatians talk about that, the works of the flesh and so forth. The flesh is weak, and we have to keep our flesh under control. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul says that he keeps his body under, lest after, now get this, lest after he himself have preached to others. Here's this great preacher talking now. And the Apostle Paul was a great preacher, great man of God. And he says, I got to keep my body under, lest after I have preached to others, I myself would become a castaway, or I would be rejected. Don't you think just because we are preachers or anybody else that's preachers, we don't get to do any and everything we want to? Because God deals with us just like he deals with you. As a matter of fact, and it's in the Bible, folks. But as a matter of fact, the Bible says that those who teach the Word of God will be judged more harshly than those that hear the Word of God. See, listen, that's the reason it's so devastating when a preacher falls. Because there are so many eyes on him or her. And people look up to them. They are examples before the people. And when they fall, now a mature Christian will not fall. I mean, their trust is in God and in his word. But how many of you know they're baby Christians? And so when their leader falls, guess what they think? They did it. They're the preacher, pastor, whatever. It must be okay. Or they may lose heart altogether and begin to question God and question the things of God. Brothers and sisters, listen, I don't ever want to be guilty of that. And don't get me wrong, any preacher that has fallen, there's still repentance there. There's still forgiveness there. Isn't God good?
Amen.
I said, isn't God good?
Amen.
Praise God. There is restoration that can be had. But the very best thing is not to fall in the first place. Because you never know whose life you're going to touch. Amen. So let me finish this up. I'm getting ready to close here. Verse 19 again. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of the flesh.
For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, that's before you got saved, okay? When you're living for the devil. He says, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Give me that verse, Romans chapter 6, verse 19, in the New Living Translation, please, from upstairs. I want to read it to you. Hallelujah. Come on, musicians. I'm getting ready to quit. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I'm using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity. And by the way, slaves is an appropriate word because there are many, many people that are in bondage. There are folks that's in bondage to pornography. There are folks that are in bondage to drugs, and we could go on and on and on. They have become enslaved to those things, okay? So let me read it again. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I'm using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. I'm sure some folks can relate to that. But now listen to what he says. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to what?
Righteous living,
so that you will become holy. What is he saying? Commit yourself to it. Commit yourself to it. I'm going to live for God. Before I was born again, I lived for the devil, and I was committed to my old life. But now I'm committed to Jesus Christ. And I lay everything else. I lay it down, and I walk with Jesus. Yes, the flesh is weak, but greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. Whatever bondages I had when I was in the world, the greater one on the inside of me delivers me from my bondages. I'm no longer a slave to sin, but I am a child of the living God. Hallelujah. Child of the living God. He's greater than pornography. He's greater than drugs. He's greater than anything that have you bound. But what you have to do, first of all, is make up your mind. Some people don't get free simply because they won't make up their mind. They back and forth. Make up your mind. Make a decision. I'm living for Christ. Kind of be like the Apostle Paul. The things that are behind me, I consider them dung. You know what dung is? Manure. That's what it is. And he says, I'm pressing on for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. Brothers and sisters, that's commitment. You hear me? I say that's commitment. And that's what God is looking for out of you and out of me. Commitment. But let me tell you something. In Christ, commitment sets you free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. If I'm a slave to righteousness, that only means I am free. And sin does not have a chokehold on me any longer. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Will you do it?
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. I didn't know I was going to preach this long. Praise God. I'll tell you something, you can be free today. If you're watching the live stream, I want to tell you, you can be free today. Jesus will make you free. Hallelujah. And right now, I want to extend to you an invitation to receive.